Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Memtet, and we are holding up to boy Rav Papa. So it was about one third of the way down, and we have some further issues that Rav Papa raises here. So boy Rav Papa, what would be the din if Chafan Chaveiro V'Natan L'Toch Ofnav? So let us say one friend of the Kohen Gadol goes and does the chafina, and then he puts the chafina into the hands of the Kohen Gadol. So the question over here would be, when it says in the Torah that it's Meloch Ofnav, so he has Meloch Ofnav, even though he didn't do the act of chafina, but his chafnaim, his handful, was filled up. And v'hayika, that we have. Or when it says in the Pasuk, Vilakach, and it says the Vilakach on both. Maybe it means it on both, because the Lashon of the Vilakach, remember, first refers to the Machata of the Gachalayesh, but then afterwards it says Umaloch Ofnav. So what does the Lakach go on? Do we have two objects of the verb Vilakach? Vilakach Meloha Machta Gachalayesh Me'ala Mizbech M'lifnei Hashem. And then when it says Umloch Ofnav, that is a second object of the verb vilakach. So then if that's the case, I have to actually do the lakicha with my own hands. Or is the vilakach, the act of lakicha has to be done only on the meloha machta gachalei esh? To that, one should add meloch ofnav, not that it has to be lakach meloch ofnav, but the hevi meloch ofnav, yes, that he needs to do. But if somebody else fills his meloch ofnav to the brim, the way it's supposed to be, a little bit more in the middle, that should be fine, right? So that's the question. How do I read it? Is it Meloch Ofnav, which I have, Meloch Ofnav Evi? Or do we need Vilakach Meloch Ofnav Evi? That I don't have. Teku. By Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Another question. Suppose somebody does the Chafina, the Kohen does the Chafina, and then he dies. Now they appoint another Kohen. And the question is, does that Kohen need to do a new chafina, or could he take the chafina of that which was already done and use it because the Kohen already did the act of chafina? Ask the Gemara, wait, hold on a second. Rabbi Chanina stopped on this and he said, wow, good question. Take a look at this. This is the way that they used to have a question, and we were aiming on the same question. How do you like that? I thought this was my problem. It turns out to be an earlier generation's problem. What earlier generation? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was an earlier generation. L'meimad Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Kashish? Don't we have a mimer of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, well, Rabbi Chanina was matir me to drink shachalayim on Shabbos. Rashi says, shachlayim are cressin. So, obviously, if Rabbi Chanina was matir to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, then Rabbi Chanina is older than Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He went to ask Rabbi Chanina. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Rabbi Chanina would be saying, wow, take a look at this. We were zechut to have the same shayla as a previous generation, does it? But before we talk about that, does it make sense what he just said? I asked him whether I'm allowed to drink cress juice. Of course you're allowed to drink it. Why not? Just because it may well be that you're drinking it for the purposes of getting better on some illness, that's no reason whatsoever to asser it, because it is a drink that is usable by regular people. And the halacha is that kol ha'ochlin, it says this beferish in the Mishnah we had in Shabbos, it's not kol ha'ochlin ochel adam l'refu'ah v'chol ha'mashkin shote, that a person can drink anything at all that is considered to be a drink for normal people, even though the reason that he's drinking it, or even though the reason that he's eating it, is because he wants to get a refuah, and he would never eat this kind of stuff if he didn't need it for a refuah. So obviously that couldn't have been the question, because that was 100% mutter. Sorry. The question was, lishchok v'lishtot shachlayim b'shabbat. The question that was asked by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was, am I allowed to grind up, which is an Isser D'oraisa, and have the ground up cress to make juice for a refuah? Well, I mean, I don't understand. Is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi talking about an illness that is a sakanat nefashot? So why does he have to ask? I mean, the halacha is that you always are allowed to do anything that's necessary for a sakanat nefashot. And if there is no sakana, so then obviously it's osur min yoraisa. Sidileka sakanta meisar asir. So what was the question? Listen, this is all tangential, okay, but still, I mean, we got to get to the bottom of it. Leolam deika sakanta. No. He was definitely very sick. The question was he allowed to drink grind cress? Why? Because he didn't know whether this cress was a real refuah or whether it's just a folk remedy. If it's just a folk remedy, you can't be Mechal Shabbos on a folk remedy. So he was asking Rabbi Chanina, Mi masya denechal alayo Shabbata? Is this a valid remedy? So then fine. And obviously, I'm not going to ask you if I can be Mechal Shabbos. Of course I can be Mechal Shabbos. Or maybe it's not really a remedy. Maybe it's just like, one of these kind of things that the Babas pass around, you know? So it's lo masya v'lo nechal alayo. So I understand. Then why are we asking Rabbi Chanina? Go ask a doctor. I mean, why ask Rabbi Chanina something? No, I'm asking Rabbi Chanina because Rabbi Chanina was a baki b'refuot. We know that Rabbi Chanina was an expert in medicine because the Omer Rabbi Chanina me'olam lo shalani adam amakat pirdala v'navachaya. I never had anybody have an appointment with me to ask about a wound that he got from a white mule that survived. So obviously people were consulting with him. What do you mean? Well, this is now a tangential to the tangential to the tangential to the tangential. We're now down four levels into tangents. But wait, what do you mean he never saw anybody survive a blow from a mule? Why not? We see that happens all the time. People always get hit by these things. Actually never heard of anybody killed by a mule. No, he was misquoted. Rabbi Chanina said, I never saw anybody ask about a damage to his body by a mule that actually would heal. It never heals. Says the Gemara, well, that doesn't make sense either. Of course it heals. People get these things all the time, and it heals. We're not talking about regular white mules here. We're talking about mules that are brown mules, besumkan inu, but they've got these white legs. On the bottom of the legs, it's white. Those are otherwise known as zebras, maybe. And those, in fact, they really don't. They never heal. It's interesting. Because what happens is that the little tiny pieces from the hoof are injected under the skin, and they just keep coming out months and months later, little tiny splinters. It's horrible. So apparently the white mules like that have that same type of kick, which is awful. And that's what he was referring to. Anyway, so let's pop up a level over here. And so meanwhile, it turns out that Rabbi Chanina must have been older than Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi refers to him as Rabbi Chanina was matir me. I mean, if he just went to a kid to ask him for his medical expertise, he certainly wouldn't have called him Rabbi Chanina was matir me. He would have said, I went to this doctor, Chanina, you know. So obviously, Shmamina the Rabbi Chanina kashis. So now it turns out Rabbi Chanina was older. So why did he say in that tangential statement that, oh, Bora, hey, take a look at the way the previous generations asked. This was no previous generation. No. Okay, fine. Let's fix that. Okay, then we can get back to our issue finally. So what he must have said was, oh, look at this. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi from the kids was smart enough to ask a question that we once had in a previous generation. So he was saying this she'ela of the newcomers is the same as the question that I raised myself in a previous generation. Uh-oh, that doesn't work either. Because how could Rabbi Chanina say that he had this question? He could not have had this question because of another tangential issue. And what was that? That was the point that since, since we've got another problem over here. If the Kohen Gadol died, then the problem is that he would need to bring another par. Because we have a machlokas later on about when it says, Bizot Yavo Aaron, Bepar Ben Bakar Lechatat. Does that mean that he can go in based on the shechita of the par of the Kohen Gadol who died before him, or must he bring his own par? So Rabbi Hanina Paskins over there, as we'll see soon, that he needs to bring his own par. But if he needs to bring his own par, then for sure he's going to have to do his own chafina. Because remember that it was Rabbi Hanina says that if you do the ktoret, shechafana kodem shechitas hapar, if you did chafina before the par was shechted, it's nothing. It doesn't have a din of a kosher chafina. So therefore, how could Rabbi Hanina have raised the issue about whether he's able to utilize the chafina of the previous Kohen, since the new Kohen is anyway going to have to bring a new par, because we do not hold, according to Rabbi Hanina, that you can use the dam of the original par. You have to bring in an actual new par and check it. So then it would turn out that if he were to use the chafina of the first Kohen, then it wouldn't be kosher, because he would be doing the chafina before he did the Avedas Adam, before he actually shechted the par. He can't do that. So how could Rabbi Hanina have ever asked this question? Because put those two things together. A, Rabbi Hanina says, but par, you need an actual par, not the dam of the par. And B, Rabbi Hanina, ktoret, that was done, the chafina on before the shechita of the par, is useless. So Rabbi Hanina could never have raised the issue about whether the second Kohen Gadol could use the Meloch Hofnav of the first Kohen Gadol. So how could he have said, oh, looky, looky, they're smart enough to ask a question that I asked. I never would have asked that question. All right, so let's fix that level of tangential comments. What he messed up...
A killer question. This chafina has been green-lighted. It was properly dealt with. Okay, so now I bring another part, but this chafina was properly prepared and had a part beforehand. The fact that I'm bringing a new one may not automatically ruin this because it was properly brought.
Huh?
I shed the first coin that brought it. Okay.
Well, it didn't bring it. Of course he didn't bring it. If he brought it, for sure it's useless. The question is, can he utilize the act of chafina that was done by a prior Kohen? But that act of chafina was done before the par. And there has to be a relationship, par chafina. And that wouldn't be a par chafina. Anyway, so what did Rabbi Hanina mean when he said, looky, looky, the new generation is so smart, they're asking questions that I asked. He never asked this question, couldn't have asked this question. Makes no sense at all. No, what he meant to say is like this. He was saying, look, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi obviously disagrees with me about the topic of the par or dama shel par, right? Because if Rabbi Yeshua is asking this question, then obviously he holds that the fact that the par is now already shechted does not demand of the new Kohen who takes the place of the deceased Kohen Gadol. He does not hold that he needs to bring a new par. He must hold, michlal, the kasavra bepar, vafila bedama shopar. He must hold that it's perfectly okay to utilize the dam of the previous Kohen's par that was shachut. And now he's asking, can I also use the chafina? Fine. If he's asking that, then he is asking something that not me, because I happen to disagree about that point, but the people that argue with me in my own generation did ask that question. So according to what he holds, l'may disvirelay, that par means afilu b'dama shel par, then the question that he's asking is the same as the question of those in my generation that held not like me and that held par afilu b'dama shel par. Okay, anyway, can we please pop up another level? Thank you. So my Haviala, okay, so anyway, bottom line, do you remember what we're talking about over here? The question was, can you utilize the chafino or not of that other coin? Ah, says Rav Papa, well, I mean, that depends on what you hold about another issue. And that is, does the Kohen Gadol have to do the chafina again when he gets into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he has to take all of the ketores out of the kaf that it was put into, put it back into Meloch Hofnav, and then, only then, take it from Meloch Hofnav and scatter it onto the coals. So that's a question that we raised later. So do you do chafina again inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim or not? If you hold that you need to do chafina again inside, so then the new Kohen is in good shape, because then even if he walks in with the chafina that was done by the other Kohen, so then no matter what, he's going to be doing a chafina again anyway. So what's the problem? He's being mekayim the chafina. If you hold that the Kohen does not do that, and all he does is he takes it directly from the spoon that it was in the kaf, and he puts it onto the gecholim in the machateh, so then you've got the question. Then you've got a question. Is the chafina that was done physically by another person, but is currently being carried as the meloch chafnam of the second Kohen, is that valid? On the contrary, you have it backwards here. How could you say that? If you hold that he's chofen, v'chozer, v'chofen, so then, of course, he can't go in with the other guy's chafina. Because how would he ever be able to use the other person's amount of chafina to fill up his own act of chafina? Remember that the act of chafina has to be the precise amount of molo chofna. What are the chances that the second Kohen's Meloch of Nav are going to precisely hold the Meloch of Nav of the Shear of the first Kohen? That's ridiculous. So therefore, if he needed really to do another Chafina, forget it. Efshar shelo yechaser v'lo yotir, it's not going to be kosher. I agree with you that the only way that we could ask the question is if you hold Ein Chofen v'chozer v'chofen. Then you've got a question. Then Tibar Elach, whether you can use the one before or not. Where'd this question come from? Right now. Let's bring it. Tibar Elach. Chofen v'chozer v'chofen olo. What's the din? When you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, does the Kohen Gadol refill his hands with the Ketores, which is in the kaf, that had originally been in his Molech Hafnav? Or not? Or can he just take it directly from the kaf and put it onto the kolos? Well, tashma. Remember the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, v'kach haita midata. Now remember, one of the things that we were medayik from that funny lashon of kach haita midata was my lav, that keshem shemidata mibachutz, kach midata mibifnim. You have to make sure that when you've got the molech of nav initially outside where you first took it, then when you redo it, you have to redo it exactly the same way, which proves that you needed to do chafina a second time. No. Remember what we said before? Whatever you try to prove from that language in the Mishnah, I can always tell you it means something else. Okay, so I'll go back to tell you what you thought it meant originally. What did you think it meant originally? That you're allowed to make an actual measurement for the Meloch Hofnav if you first measure the Meloch Hofnav, right? Okay, maybe that's what it means. Lo. Dilma she'imrat sala sot mida lech Meloch Hofnav, that you can. And remember, we even suggested a third possibility back then, which is maybe it means shelo yachzar v'shelo yotir, that you're not allowed to have even slightly more or slightly less. So from here we have no raya. Okay, says Gemara, I'm going to bring you a raya from a braita. Tashma. It says in the braita, how does the Kohen Gadol manage to get the Meloch Hofnav again when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? I mean, he's got a bit of a problem over here. He's got that machateh, which he managed to put on the ground, right? Okay, so now he's holding the bazach. He can't use his hands to turn the bazach over because he has to cup both of his hands in order for it to be molo chofnav. So how's he going to get the contents of the ktoris, which is inside of this kaf, back into his hands? This is really a problem. Well, what he does is like this. Now, there's two very different girsa'ot over here. The Rambam actually has a very different girsa, which the Gra brings here. So first, let's read the girsa we have, which is Rashi's girsa. So now he's got the machata on the ground. Okay, so now his problem is that he is holding a bazach. And he can't continue to hold the bazach because he has to cup his hands together and turn the bazach upside down to get everything in the bazach into Malach Hafna. Now, how the heck is he going to do that? Well, what he can do is like this. He holds the bazach with his fingertips, okay? His fingertips, they're connected now to each other, but he could still hold the bazach on them. And he could support them, or some say, he can hold the bazach with his teeth as he holds the handle. It's facing towards his body, right? Now, he uses his thumb to pull up on the handle of the bazach until it gets so high that it flips over. It gets the benatzi leyadav. The handle is all the way up to his underarms, and at that point, he tilts forwards, and that turns the kaf upside down. So then he's chozer u'machzira l'tochofna. Okay, now that is the girsa of Rashi, which is quite complex. Now, the girsa of the Gra is very simple, that he's ochezet ha-bazach barosh etzbaotav, or yesh omrim b'shinav, and then the rest of it simply goes like this, according to the Gra, which is the Rambam. So what he does is he supports the kaf. He doesn't flip the kaf over. He uses his thumbs to go back into the kaf, which is now held at an angle above Melochofnav, and he pulls out from inside the kaf every last bit of ktoret and drops it into Melochofnav, not turning the kaf upside down. Okay. But in any event, this is very difficult to do, as we'll see. And at that point, after he gets it into Malach Hafnav, he now drops it en masse over the coals. So he doesn't gently scatter it over the coals, which would cause it to burn very, very quickly, because then it would all be exposed to the oxygen. Instead, he makes sort of a pile of it by dropping it. That way, it's going to take a little bit of time until it smokes up because he doesn't want to smoke himself out of business, right? So basically, he is careful to put it in such a way that he's going to have enough time to get out of that room without choking. So some say on the contrary, v'yeshomri mifazra, no, he actually scatters it, k'deshi ashna mimaheret lavo, because that way it's more covered for the Kodesh HaKodashim, because this way there is less of a chance that the Kohen Gadol will see anything, and that it basically the Hashras HaShchina will be mechuseh as quickly as possible with the Kiba Anan Era LaKapot. Okay, in any event, this getting this done again, this chafina, the second chafina, is very difficult. V'zui avoda kasha shebimikdash, the most difficult thing. What? This is the most difficult thing. Same question we asked before. It's not the most difficult thing. I mean, using superlatives here. What about Kmitza, where it says the same thing? What about Malika? It says the same thing over there. No, okay, fine. Zohi from Avodah Kasha, me Avodot Kasha Shabimigdash. We didn't mean it's the most Kasha. It's one of the three most difficult things. Anyway, but, I mean, if we're talking about all of this detail in how to get the Ketores out of the Kaf and into Malach Hafnav, so then, obviously, you've got to do it again, 100%. Otherwise, none of this makes any sense. Shema Aminah, Chofen, V'chozer, V'chofen, Shema Aminah. The only way to understand this is that there's a second Chafina. Okay, now we can get to the other question that we raised before tangentially, which is, if the Kohen Gadol shechs the par, now we have the dam of the par, can a second Kohen Gadol who's taking his place, can he use the dam hapar and be yotze with the dam hapar with the posik of bezot yavo aron el hakodesh bepar? Does the par mean the dam of the par, or does the par mean an actual par that he has to go and now bring a new par? So that was the question that we said was the issue between Rabbi Hanina and others of his generation. So now we got there. So, question. Iboilu, what would be the din if the Kohen Gadol shechs the par, dies? Maush yikanes acher bedamo. Can the replacement Kohen Gadol use the dam of the par? Mi amrino, when the Torah said bezot yavo Aaron al hakodesh bepar ben bakar, that doesn't mean literally. He's not going to be walking in holding a cow, is he? No. So, okay, so then if that's the case, he's just going to need the dam. The dam is the bull. It is the par. Oh, Dilma, no, he has to bring the par and then shecht it. So maybe that's what par means. So as we saw in Amud Aleph, Rabbi Chanina holds, the par means he has to bring his own par. He cannot use the dam of the par of the other coin. Now we find out that the other of the generation of Reish Lakish to whom he was referring, of Rav Chanina to whom he was referring, is Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, par means afilu bedam shapar, and there were others that were involved in this. Reb Ami, he agreed with Rabbi Chanina, bepar velo bedam shapar. Reb Yitzchak, he agreed with Reish Lakish, bepar afilu bedam shapar. So that's why Rabbi Chanina was referring to the Sheilat HaRishonim, because this was an issue that spanned generations. Eitzvei Reb Ami l'Reb Yitzchak Navcha. Reb Ami asked, so he said to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, listen, according to you guys who hold that the par is even if the par is shechted, how do you explain the fact that when it comes to the Korban Pesach, where over there it talks about you can change your mind, withdraw from your chabura, get onto a new chabura, as long as the seh of your original chabura has not been shechted yet. So it says, nimnim u'moshkim yadeyem mimenu, you can add yourself onto a chabura, or you can withdraw from a chabura, ad sheyishachet, until such time as the seh that was being brought for the Korban Pesach, until such time as it's shechted. If you guys are right, then the word seh should refer to the same thing that the word par refers to. When it says a par, it doesn't mean the actual animal. It says, according to you, that as long as you have the dam of the par, right? So then if it says seh, it should mean the same thing. As long as the Korban Pesach was, even if it was shechted, as long as the dam was not sprinkled on the Mizbeach, then you could still withdraw or add. But it doesn't say that. It says only if the actual seh is alive. Then if that's the case, when the Torah uses the word of reference to an animal, it means the actual animal, the seh, not the damoshel seh, and therefore it means the par and not the damoshel par, like I hold, like Rabbi Chanina holds. And you guys are wrong. Now, otherwise, according to you, it should say ve'imita. If you guys are right, it should say atsheyizreik, not atsheyishachet. So how come it doesn't say atsheyizrokas adam? Well, says the Gemara, you're right, but you cannot actually make the comparison in the din of the seh for the Korban Pesach to the din of the par for the Kohen Gadol, because there the Torah goes out of its way to use the word mihiyot. Remember, it says ve'im im at habayit mihiyot miseh. Now, remember that word mihiyot always means something still being fully itself. That lashon havaya. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, it's as if it says bichiyot, from chiyut hashel seh. The seh has to be alive. It doesn't say anything like that about the par kohen gadol. So therefore, when it comes to the par, yes, the par obviously doesn't mean he walks in with a par ben bakar. He walks in with the dam of the par. So therefore, as long as the dam of the par is there, that's all that he needs, and the second kohen could use it. But if you want to withdraw from a chabura on Pesach, then you need mehiyot, you need the seh to be alive. But that's special in that particular case. Michiuta de se. Mati marzutra. Okay, now I got another problem. It uses the same word se. It doesn't say michiuta de se. Use the same word se for pidyan peter chamor, right? So it says ko peter chamor tifte bise. Nothing about chiuta de se. So now, how come over there the halacha is that if the seh is shechted already, you can't use it for the pidyon of the chamor? Because it says over there, ein podin, lo be'egel, velo be'chaya, velo be'shchuta. Lo be'shchuta. That's a problem. Because according to you, you should certainly be able to use a shchuta ולא בטריפה, ולא בכליים, ולא בקוי, אלא בסה. If we hold like you, that a seh includes the damo shel seh, what is wrong with utilizing a seh shchuta in order to be podeh a petach hamor? That's different. Shani hasa. Because I have a gzera shava of seh, seh mi pesach. So just like it says by pesach, imat habayit miyot mi seh, so to avir tzivikol petach hamor tivdeh biseh. And therefore, just like the seh over there has to be a live seh, mihiyot miseh, so too does the seh for the pinyan petach hamor have to be a live seh. Says the Gemara, that doesn't make sense. Because if the basis of it is, in fact, a gzeira shava of seh seh, then it should need to have all the requirements of the seh for Korban Pesach. And it doesn't, because the din of a Korban Pesach is it has to be tam. Do you need a set tam for a pidyon petach hamor? Use any junky set. Use any junky set. It can have plenty of mumin on it. So how come it doesn't have to be tam? And how old does it have to be? Korban Pesach has to be within its first year. Does the set of a pidyon petach hamor have to be within its first year? No, no such halacha. So why not? Why don't we say ma'alan zachar and tam? Oh, does it have to be a male? No. So zachar, tam, ben, shana. So for pidyon petach hamor, you should need dafka male, dafka first year, dafka without any mumin. So obviously we do not darshan seh-seh. No, we do darshan seh-seh. But we also have a ribui, that since the Torah utilized the word tifdeh multiple times, kol petach hamor tifdeh v'seh, no tifdeh, tifdeh at the end of the pasuk. So tifdeh is marbeh. That even if it's not a zohar, even if it's not a tam, if it's not a ben shana, well, so then if it's marbe, maybe it should be marbe even if it's shechted, like the din is by the miyot miseh, and it should be, actually, we should say that it would be kosher, and you said it isn't kosher. So then I feel a kulanami? No. Look, it has to mean something, right? I mean, if we have a gzera shava of seseh, so the seseh mayahanile, what do we learn out from that gzera shava? So we have to take into consideration what is the most reasonable thing to be marba, and what is the most reasonable thing to be mamayat. So if we're going to compare it to that seh, the most striking thing about that seh that is mentioned in the pasuk of the seh is meyot miseh. So then that means that aspect has to be true over here by the seh has to be alive for the pidyon. As far as the details of what kind of things are kosher for Korban Pesach, I mean, those are korbanos issues and would have nothing to do with the pidyon of a petach hamor. So that's logical that we would use the tifta to be marbeh.